I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, episode 26, Biscuits, a hockey podcast. I'm Dave, doing a quick intro. Say hi to Sean.
Hey, everyone.
Draft lottery. Sean is an X-Man because he can see the future. He told us less than a week ago that the magic of Taylor Hall would result in the Devils getting the first pick in the lottery. They would win the lottery. They won the lottery. So, Sean, I don't understand why, if you have these Charles Xavier-like powers to see the future, why you would not at least like tell me to go make a bet in Vegas about how the Devils are going to win the draft lottery.
Yeah, I probably should have done that. That would seem irresponsible. But yeah, I guess we should lead off with an apology to all our readers and listeners who listened on Friday and had the draft lottery spoiled for them, because we told them that not only would the Devils win the lottery, but that the Avalanche would drop all the way down to fourth spot. And sure enough, that was painful to watch on Saturday. Did you watch it live?
Mm-hmm. I felt really bad.
Like, there was that moment where because of the way the lottery works, where basically it's just Bill Daly flipping over cards, and you know which logo you're supposed to see, and if you don't see that logo, it means that's one of the teams that's moved up. And because the three teams that won were all so far down the order that by the time he flipped over New Jersey, we knew which three teams had won, and like he still had to flip the Canucks and the Avalanche. And like you had to watch like sad Joe Sakic and sad Trevor Linden just had to sit there with a camera like three feet from their face as they watch Bill Daly just ruin whatever hope was left in their season.
I also feel bad. I feel bad from the standpoint of it's not like Colorado tanked and then they lost the top spot, and you're like, ha ha ha, that's what you get for tanking.
No.
They just genuinely suck. They were just a sucky team for 6 months, and they got as screwed as they put. Like they lost the draft lottery as bad as they lost every game this season.
Right.
Like that it's almost fitting.
It's the worst case scenario. Like this is exactly what I spent all of last year assuming was going to happen to the Maple Leafs. Because the Maple Leafs finally finished dead last. It's the first year of this new system. It's a draft that at the time we were told had three franchise players. I'm like, well, of course the Leafs are going to lose the lottery three straight times and pick fourth in a year with three franchise players. And it didn't happen. And it ends up happening to the Avalanche in a far weaker draft. I mean, this is a draft that might have zero franchise players. It certainly doesn't have four. So they're, I don't know, whoever is the GM there, by the time it's time to start fixing this, this provided very little help. And same for the Canucks, who kind of didn't tank the season, but maybe in the second half sort of did. And their fans were very happy that they plummeted all the way down. And, now it's got everybody upset. Like, I'm seeing all these takes from people who want to change the lottery system now because of how these results.
But to what? What? How else can they pop? This is exactly what you would want, right? Because if you want a draft lottery, you want there to be randomness. You don't want there to be the incentive. So this actually is the way you want it to go if you want the lottery, right?
You would think. This drives me crazy because this is the most NHL reaction to a problem, if it is a problem. And I don't love the draft lottery. I think there's better ways to do this other than ping pong balls. Like for years I've been pushing the gold plan, which is the idea that you have that you base the draft order on how many points a team gets after they're eliminated from the playoffs, which I love as an idea because it gives the advantage to the bad teams, and yet it forces them to actually win their way to a pick, and it avoids the situation of fans cheering against their own team. Or I mean, there's nothing worse than being a hockey fan when your team is out of the playoffs and you're hoping that they're going to lose and you're mad when they win. Like the Winnipeg Jets finished the season with 7 straight wins and their fans were furious. Because
wait, did I ever tell you my plan, my draft lottery plan?
Let's hear it.
Okay, so at the end of the regular season, they have the standings, and they go from 1 to 30. Best team is first, worst team is 30th. What you do is you invert the standings, and you let the team that finished 30th pick first, 29th pick second, 28th, and so on and so forth. This way, the team that finished the worst gets the first pick. How do you feel about that?
It's radical.
It's crazy, I know.
It's never been tried. Other than
draft lottery,
other than for the many many years, but until the Ottawa Senators came along and ruined it.
Think about how corny this year is. So the Coyotes tank essentially. They do like this weird secret, like, you know, off the books tank, and they still end up. I think they're going to pick 7th. I want to say instead of 4th or 7th instead of 3rd. You have the Colorado Avalanche, who just genuinely sucked. They weren't trying to game the system. They just sucked. And how about Vegas?
Yeah.
You're coming in and you're like, man, we're going to be bad for a long time, but at least we're going to pick, wait, what's that? We're going to pick 6th in this draft? We're not going to pick top 3? That seems unfair. It's so dumb. And it's all because of just, like, the NHL overreacts to every dumb thing that's like once in a blue moon,
right?
Like a team tanking for McDavid, a team tanking for Eichel.
Yeah,
but they don't fix the other stuff. That's a problem for like decades.
Well,
it just makes no sense.
And that's the thing. That's why when I say that this is the most NHL reaction, like that you can't have been okay with the current draft lottery on Friday, but then think it's bad on Sunday because of how the results came out. Because you knew this was a possibility. This was built into the system. But it's such an NHL thing to have a system or a rule or whatever it is in place to have everybody know that a certain scenario is going to happen at some point, to not change or modify or improve anything right up until that scenario does happen, and then say, okay, now we have to fix it. After the bad thing has already happened. Like, we all knew, you know, it's like a couple years ago, right? When people were upset when the Oilers won the McDavid lottery. And there were GMs who apparently were like, we need to change the rules so that teams can't win multiple times within a certain window. And it's like, guys, you knew the Oilers could win this lottery. You could have changed this in advance, but you didn't. And now you're going to go, it's like the skate in the crease rule all those years ago. We all knew at some point this was going to decide a crucial game. We left it in place for years. It ends up deciding the Stanley Cup, and then it gets changed then. Same with the offside thing now, right? Like this, we're all waiting for a terrible offside review to determine an overtime goal or a Stanley, you know, a playoff series. We know it's going to happen. And we're not changing it. We're not doing anything because we're just going to wait until it happens. And then everyone's going to go, oh my God, we need to, like, you can see it coming now. Why don't you change it now in advance rather than waiting for the thing that is going to happen? I mean, we all have those little lottery simulator websites that go around. You can go, you click the button 3 times. Sometimes you get weird results. We knew this was a possibility. And now people are like, oh, the Flyers jump too far. We need to change the system. Dude, the Flyers, a team like the Flyers was going to make a jump eventually. And statistically speaking, probably relatively early on in this system. If you didn't mind that when it was a possibility, you can't be upset about it now that it's actually happened.
See, there's an obvious hole in your logic. And it's hard for you to see it because you're a logical person. This idea that it was right there in front of the NHL's face to see, The NHL can't see 2 feet in front of its own face, no, ever, for anything. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a rule change, whether it's a lockout. You know, it's always like, man, this kind of caught us by surprise. Why would this catch you by, like the offside reviews too, where, I mean, I get it. I understand people hate watching those replays where, you know, is the guy's skate touching? Is it in the air? You know, where's the puck? I get it. But you had to understand that the offside reviews weren't going to catch the Matt Duchene thing 11 times. They were going to catch little tiny ones as well. So I'm always going to be on the side of the offside review, because I'd rather have a dozen, you know, bullshit review type things where you can't tell one way or the other, and maybe they uphold it, maybe they overturn it, if it prevents that one Matt Duchene goal from happening. Like, I know I'm in the minority on that. I know everybody always hates it. People take to Twitter all the time after an offside review. I mean, first of all, I'd like them to just get it right. It feels like with the offside reviews where you're just like, oh, that's offside, and they come back and you're like, no, it wasn't offside. That bothers me, not the offside review itself.
Well, like the one in the Sunday night game between the Ducks and the Oilers.
Where, yeah, it's the same thing with goaltender interference too, where, I mean, sometimes it's like a situation like Corey Crawford gets bumped outside the crease and there's different rules for being outside the crease, but then there's the one where like Freddie Anderson like grabs Nicholas Backstrom around the leg and falls down, and that's goaltender interference. Yeah. I just want him to get the call right. So when it comes to the draft, just again, the best way to solve this, Sean, is just do what the NFL does. You come in 31st, you're picking first. It's not that complicated.
But then don't you get more of what we saw with the Sabres a couple years ago where they're just blatantly tanking?
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
Is it?
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. Fans, again, people are gonna wash this away over history. The Sabres were cheering when the Arizona Coyotes beat them in overtime in Buffalo. Sabres fans stood up and cheered the goal as if it was Brian Gianta one-timing a puck past Mike Smith. It was beautiful. And again, the problem with hockey is there's really only so many ways to get your team to become an elite team. And history shows that you have to have a top three pick essentially on your team to be a Stanley Cup winner. And you continuously finish between 17th and 24th, you're just going to live there forever. Yeah. So if tanking is a viable way to win, you should be able to do it. And you should be able to finish 30th or 31st and pick first.
See,
I'm team tank and I'm team dive. Dive all you want during games and tank your season.
I'm the exact opposite. I would like to see the NHL come up with a system where teams don't get rewarded for tanking. I don't blame teams that do it. I mean, I have no problem with what the Sabres did because they're playing to the rules that the league has put in front of them. But I wish we came up with a better system, because I worry that, you know, I don't think having a lottery does very much to prevent tanking. But, you know, the next time there's a Connor McDavid or an Austin Matthews, if there's no lottery at all, I mean, I think it just... It could get really ridiculous with teams gunning.
But like,
for
think
that
about think about Colorado this year, where they genuinely and honestly sucked. They were pure suckage. They didn't embellish the suck at all.
Right.
And now they pick fourth. Like,
okay.
That's just
but
like,
here's
like that could happen year after year for teams
it
that
could,
don't tank. You
but
know
here's
I mean?
Here's the thing. I mean, why reward them sucking if they're that bad in a league where we've never seen parity like this before? If a team finishes 20 points out, I mean, that's just sheer incompetence on a level that should be virtually impossible. Do we really want to reward that and say, here you go, here's the very best player? We're going to put the very best player entering our league on a team that is so incompetently run right now that it's probably years away from any kind of relevance. Does that really make sense? I mean, I know 30 or 40 years ago, there were these huge gaps in what teams could spend. There were these huge, I mean, there were literally some teams that were run like professional businesses and some teams that were just some guy making random decisions. Yeah, maybe there you really had to make sure, because, you know, the New Jersey Devils or the Pittsburgh Penguins were going to not exist anymore if we didn't get a good player to them. I don't feel like that's the case anymore. I think maybe bigger picture, we need to move away from rewarding failure, whether it's intentional or not, and you know, maybe understand that we put some of the onus on these teams to get better on their own and not just sit around and wait for draft handouts. Wow, yeah, I got very Republican there. towards the end.
I was going to say, what was it like to sneak into our country and vote for Donald Trump?
Oh my gosh.
Must have been great.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to go in that direction.
Sneak over to the border state that's Wisconsin, apparently, and vote for Trump. But again, I understand the premise. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps, Sean, over here. But how do you do it without a top three pick? I mean, you look down at the rosters of teams that become very good. It's always the same thing. It's Crosby, mm-hmm. it's Malkin, it's Staal, it's all those guys that become cornerstone players,
right.
And you don't get those. Like, yeah, you can maybe grab a Sean Monahan with the whatever he was, the seventh pick. I mean, you can find those guys, but it's a coin flip when you do that.
Yeah,
and my
argument would be, I mean, you're right. In this league, you need those star young players, but why punish a team like Carolina to just kind of pick a team at random that is bad but not terrible, and every year, you know, never seems to tank, always seems to put the best team they can on the ice, but it's never a very good team. And they're stuck in that horrible middle ground of picking 7th through 10th every year. You know, why are we rewarding the Avalanche for being terrible and consigning the team like the Hurricanes to never going anywhere? Because unless they blow it up and just say, okay, we're going to punt on a season and intentionally lose as much as we can. Like, I don't like that system. I'd rather have something like today where at least, you know, if you're, I mean, the Stars aren't really a great example because they're already a good team, but a team like New Jersey that didn't bottom out can still at least have a shot at getting one of those players.
I feel like that if you have made Cam Ward your goalie for the past 6 years, you should not be rewarded for anything either. That's just my
I might have to concede that argument. That's...
Let me ask you this, though. How do you think the NHL rigged it so Philly would get a top two pick? Like, what do you think they did behind the scenes to make sure that a team that's on NBC 26 times a year got better right away?
You know what? This was the real tragedy of the Connor McDavid lottery. Like, it wasn't that Connor McDavid got sentenced to spending the most of his adult life in Edmonton. It wasn't that the most marketable player to come into the league in 30 years got stuck in one of its least marketable markets. It was that people like me who love conspiracy theories just had it ruined for the lottery. Because there's, like, once the Edmonton Oilers won the draft lottery, there was no way that there, like, you can't claim that anybody was rigging the lottery when you got that result. And then the next year, I mean, if you were going to rig the 2016 lottery, you put Austin Matthews in Arizona.
No, you don't. You rig it for Toronto. Come on. You don't rig it to put a guy in Arizona when they're going to Quebec in 2 years. Come on. Come on.
Maybe you rig it for Toronto too. Toronto or Arizona would be your options. But there's no way you put McDavid in Edmonton. And that just kind of like, all right, now I guess either that or this being the NHL, like they tried to rig it and just screwed it up somehow. Like, somebody put an extra ping pong ball
inside
in the
freezer.
Envelope. Yeah. Something like that. I could see that happening. But
I'll tell you right now, if I was going to rig a draft lottery in 2017, I would totally do what the NHL did in 2015, which was give it to Edmonton. So that's like your cover story. It's like, come on, guys, if we're going to rig lotteries, why would we do this in 2015? And you're like, yeah, I guess. It's a perfect cover. And also, the Devils. The Devils feels kind of rigged, too, because the Devils are always that team that feels like they're on the verge of financial collapse. And they have, boy, let me tell you, buddy, as a guy that gets to watch this team a lot in my area, oh, are they bad. They are so devoid of talent that it's only a matter of time before fans start bailing and becoming Ranger fans. Like, they're a bad team. So now it's like, hey, you get Nolan Patrick or Nico, however you say that other guy's name. That's the thing too, is like I love like in football, like I can sit here and talk to you about Mitch Trubisky. I can talk to you at the NBA about like guys coming out of college, you know, like Lonzo Ball. I know dick all about guys coming into the NHL. Like these 18-year-old kids that play in like friggin' the middle of nowhere Canada. Like, oh man, you gotta see, like, sure, Nolan Patrick might be awesome. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's not like the NFL, but it's still better than the NBA. Now, like, I'm not an NBA fan, but I will watch the NBA draft because I enjoy drafts. And it's like, I find every year at the NBA, it's like the first pick is some dominant franchise player. Second and third picks are very good players. Fourth pick is like some guy who just started playing basketball 2 years ago. Fifth guy is like some dude from like Argentina, and he's never touched a basketball, but he's 7'8", and so they're pretty sure they can. And that, and you're just like, how is it? Wait a second, this sport is played all over the world. There's 64 plus teams, that college teams that play in a big tournament every year. How did you only produce three decent players? Whereas
you're forgetting the Spurs will find like some dude who plays in Europe with the 29th pick and some other guy who plays somewhere else with the 58th pick, and they'll both become Hall of Famers.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you've got that extra couple. But yeah, I don't know. The NBA always strikes me as weird. But yeah, you're right. The NHL is kind of. But now that we know the order, we've got 2 months to look at all the prospects, and by the time the draft rolls around, we'll have very strong opinions. On each of these guys.
Maybe not
this year, because it's, yeah. Can I just throw one more thing out there on the lottery? Because I feel like this hasn't been mentioned, but with the Golden Knights coming in, where they were given, they were given the odds, the same odds as the third place team. And like you saw that, I think about a year ago, when they announced the expansion, that was one of the first things they put in, was that the Golden Knights are going to have the same odds as the third place team. You look at the odds this year, like last year, the Leafs, I think, were 18%, 18 point, no, the Leafs were 20%, Oilers 13.5, Canucks 11.5. Like it was all pretty evenly done. This year, Colorado Avalanche's odds in the lottery was 17.936%. Like, can we just acknowledge that I'm pretty sure the NHL just decided the Golden Knights would get the third best odds, but didn't actually run the numbers or think what that would mean, or think that, like, wait a second, we have to make extra room for a team. And
oh, right.
And I feel like it was only at the end they were like, oh, wait a second. And they just wound up with these ridiculous, like the New Jersey Devils, 8.517%. You didn't do that on purpose. Like, that's a classic, like, we thought we could just slip them in at 10% next to whoever came in fourth. And then it was like, oh, crap, no, that adds up to 110. That's not going to work. And they just had to.
I completely believe that. I believe that. Now that you say it like that, where one day Bill Daly was like going over the list and doing the math. He's like, "Hey Gary, what's up, Billy?" He calls him Billy. Hey Gary, this, we got a problem here at the draft lottery. What is it, Billy? All the teams that don't make the playoffs. Yeah. What? It adds up to 119%. Why? Well, we forgot about Vegas, so it's an extra team in there. And then, like, they spent the rest of the day, like, dividing it all up by, like, 17 to try to get to, or by 15 to try to get the number the right
way. Like, at first, they were like, just put more balls in the machine. And they're like, one of the accountants had to come in, like, guys, this is not working. This is.
Oh, that doesn't matter. We'll just screw it.
I feel like that conversation happened, like, 2 weeks ago. And that's.
So at least Vegas is on brand still. So Vegas has screwed up its name.
Yep.
It screwed up the unveiling of its name. And now it's screwed up sending its GM to the draft lottery, and now it's screwed up winning the actual draft lottery. I mean, I'll tell you right now, that franchise is set up for big things.
Yeah,
right away.
It's gonna be
a heck of a club.
There's no better omen than making George McPhee sit in the press box in Washington during the playoffs. Like, if that wasn't a big flashing warning sign that something terrible was about to happen to him.
And the Caps. My God, the Caps.
Sean.
I don't get it, Sean. I mean, of all the ways the Capitals were going to lose this series, I did not think it would be Marc-Andre Fleury becomes modern day Ken Dryden, and Braden Holtby can't stop anything that's slightly above average in terms of danger. It's infuriating to me. Like, this is not the reason why the Caps should lose the series.
And it's tough. Now, we're recording this on Monday. People are going to be hearing this on Tuesday. So game three has happened. So by the time you're hearing this, you know whether the Penguins are up 3-0 and the series is over, or whether the Capitals gutted out a game three win and it's 2-1 and they're still alive. But those first two games, the second game was just ugly because, you know, the first game was close, and then there's lots of talk of, you know, Alexander Ovechkin, we can't go down 2-0. Yeah, you can.
Turns out you can.
One of those. That was an ugly game. What did you think of the pull? What did you think of Barry Trotz?
It was stupid. It didn't make any sense. It makes sense from the standpoint of, you want Braden Holtby to make a save for you, but if you're down, say you're down 4-1, like, all right, fine. You know, you want to maybe change the emotion and all that sort of, you know, intangible junk. Fine. I can, but you're down 3-1. It's a 2-goal game. At the end of the day, no matter how good he's been for five periods, it's still Marc-Andre Fleury down at that side of the ice. Like, you can get 2 goals in 20 minutes on Marc-Andre Fleury, yeah. But it's not as though the Caps were getting run over for 40 minutes. They were running over the Penguins for 40 minutes, and they just couldn't score. And then every time the Penguins had a halfway decent chance, Braden Holtby let it in. So is Philip Grubauer going to come in cold and be better than Braden Holtby, as bad as Holtby was? Like, I don't think so. It seemed like a real panic move by Barry Trotz that was, yeah. It reeked of desperation. And honestly, the way that they scored right away, so who knows if Braden Holtby's in that for third period, maybe it's a different outcome. I didn't like it. I understood it, but I didn't like it.
Yeah, it seemed a little much. And yeah, I don't know. When I made my prediction for this series, I predicted Capitals in 7. And whenever I do predictions, I always throw in an oddly specific prediction. And my pick for this series was that the Caps are going to win in 7 after overcoming a 3-1 series deficit. So if they won game 3 and it's 2-1, I'm still on track for my prediction. And, yeah. And like, in theory, the fact that I predicted that, I should still feel okay about their chances, but it's tough. I think I know too many Capitals fans. Like, they're done. They've tagged out on this team already.
And I don't blame them, man. Like the way they sounded after the game, like, they just sound like resigned to, like, there really is something to, like, that mental side of the game where the second something goes wrong and things have gone wrong for you for like 9 years straight, mm-hmm. You start to think there was nothing about that game until Matt Cullen scored where you thought, there's no way the Caps are losing this. They're running this team over.
Yeah, the first period, like, they were amazing.
Oh, my God. And then Matt Niskanen scores the power play goal. You're like, here we go. Here comes the avalanche of Washington goals. Nope, it's just the second. It's the second. And, like, to be fair, on the Kessel goal, like, Braden Holtby seems like he's there, and it just kind of glances off him in the post and goes in. But that third goal, that Jake Guentzel scored the third goal, I mean, oh, my God. It's just, I've never seen I don't know if you get the same camera angles up there in magical Canada, but down here in crappy America where we get Pierre Maguire and awful play-by-play, they show this, like, really good on-ice view of, like, mostly what the shooter was looking at with Braden Holtby. And it looks like Braden Holtby doesn't know where the net is. Like, the whole glove side is wide open. And on top of that, when he drops down, his glove, like, almost goes, like, down by where his leg pad is. Like, it wasn't even a good shot that beat him. And then you see that angle and you're just like, I don't know, maybe Braden Holtby just has a mental block when it comes to the second round. Maybe it's like seeped into his brain, and now he's just, it's like joining the Borg in Star Trek. Eventually you will become part of the collective, and you will be a crappy choke person, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. I tend not to put too much stock in that stuff, but when you're talking goalies, maybe. Yeah, goalies are weird. If Washington loses this series, what do you do? Like, if you're Ted Leonsis or whoever, like, what do you do? Like, do you start firing people again? Do you blow it up again?
I mean, they're screwed. Like, it's like in Edmonton where for so many years things were so bad that eventually you have to, like, really do something insane to break things up. But
they've won the President's Trophy 2 years in a row. Like, it's not that. I guess what I come back to is I look at that, the 2010 year where they had the great, I think, won the President's Trophy, like 120 points, something like that. And they run into the Montreal Canadiens, and Yaroslav Halak just has one of those series where he just stands on his head. And the Canadiens win in 7 games, and the Capitals end up over the next year or so, like, they fire Bruce Boudreau, they switch their whole mindset, they stop attacking, they become a defensive team, they go to, you know, Dale Hunter and Adam Oates and all this weird stuff. Like it just, you look back and it feels like they just flushed away 2 or 3 years where they could have been a contender because they had some bad luck in the playoffs and overreacted to it. And I'm just, you know, at the end of the day, like, the Capitals are a good team, the Penguins are a good team.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it sucks that it seems like it might be the Penguins for the second straight year. There's and I don't, maybe you can't sell patience to this fan base anymore, but there's a part of me that just feels like blowing it up is the worst thing you can do right here.
But like, when does it stop being luck? When, how many years in a row do you have to have this happen where it's just the team where it's not luck? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. If they're putting up 110, 115 points a year, the playoffs are different, but are they that different? Maybe. Maybe they are, but
it's like a Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan thing back in the 90s where like Charles Barkley was super awesome, but like he couldn't, and Patrick Ewing, like they just couldn't get past Michael Jordan until like Michael Jordan was like, hey, I'm going to go play baseball for a little while. Then it was like, oh, great. So the Capitals just pretty much need Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin to go play baseball for a year. And then the Capitals will get past the second round and they'll win the Stanley Cup.
That sounds like a plan.
Simple plan.
I don't know. I've got nothing for you, Caps fans. It's
2-1 right now anyway. Let's be real.
Probably
while they're listening to this. Yeah, like Ovechkin had a hat trick.
Yeah.
Fleury got pulled Holtby 4 minutes shut in. Out. Yeah, Braden Holtby made, oh my God, that save on Crosby at the end of the first period he made. Oh my God, the breakaway. Oh, what a play. What a job.
I didn't like it when Kuznetsov scored the seventh goal and he did that little that interpretive dance at center ice.
Yeah. It was a little much.
Yeah, I thought that was too much. No fun.
Well, let's do that real quick before
Speaking
we talk about
dancing.
Any other series. Speaking of assholes, what is hockey like in your country? Tell me about the magical land of Canada when it comes to hockey, because down here, Mike Milbury is like people always compare Mike Milbury to Don Cherry, and I don't watch Don Cherry enough to understand if that's like a correct parallel to draw. It feels like it's not, but like PK Subban is bobbing his head on the ice during pregame warmups, just listening to the music, getting the blood flow going before game two, and it becomes this national like argument. Not even an argument; it just becomes the thing Mike Milbury harps on for like a minute during the pregame thing before Nashville and St. Louis. And yesterday, was it yesterday at this point? Whatever day it was, before game two, Ottawa and the Rangers. The Rangers are like snapping the puck like it's a football between their legs, or they're and like that's fine somehow. And again, that's all fine. So like in Canada, like is there a fun police in Canada? Is it mounted? Is it royal? Like what's the fun police?
Well, I mean, first of all, like the reason I bring up Kuznetsov is because Don Cherry has spent the last week being mad at him for doing the little chicken dance celebration thing. And I mean, I'd love to act as if we would never get worked up over PK Subban doing something harmless, but we traded him last summer, as you may have heard.
We
collectively
we all got together.
After, you know, he gave $10 million to a children's hospital, but, you know, he kind of smiled a little bit too much during the ceremony. And so we
got to get rid of him.
Had to fire him off to Nashville, where he's probably going to go to the conference finals, maybe go to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. If you're Gary Bettman right now, how hard are you praying for that Crosby versus either McDavid or Subban matchup? Like all respect to the Senators or to the Blues or whoever else, but how are you not begging for that matchup?
Are you telling me you don't want a JG Pageau Ryan Kessler Stanley Cup final? Is that what you're telling me?
A rematch, 10 years in the making.
Yeah,
Ducks and Senators. Let's see if the Ducks can score the Stanley Cup winning goal this year.
Boy, it always feels like you're an Ottawa fan to me sometimes. Your knowledge of Ottawa hockey and the history up there.
See this.
How long have you lived in Ottawa?
Oh, forever. I've been here for a long time. But yeah, no. When it comes, like, it still bothers me to this day that just as a hockey fan who enjoys making fun of miserable mistakes. Like, it bothers me to this day that Chris Phillips scored the Stanley Cup winning goal into his own net on a wraparound while the Anaheim Ducks were doing a line change. And like, And it was forgotten. Like 2 months later, it was forgotten. Everyone's like, oh, yeah. Oh, is that how? Yeah, I don't remember. I remember Alfredson shooting the puck at that guy, but I don't remember that a team scored the Stanley Cup winning goal on a double spinorama wraparound into their own net.
Oh, speaking of shooting pucks at people, have you seen that new controversy down here as well?
With Ovechkin.
Ovechkin apparently tried to assassinate Ron Hainsey with a wrist shot at the end of the game.
Well,
game two.
I mean, you know, honestly, if it's desperate times and you're trying to take out a key piece of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Ron Hainsey is going to be the guy that you're going to go after.
I was going to make a joke about that, but then I looked up his ice time for game two. He played like 22 minutes. I thought he was going to be like their sixth defenseman in the hierarchy, but no. Ron Hainsey is now like the new Chris Letang.
Wow. Okay. Well, good for him. Yeah, that was...
I just don't get it, man. The hockey coverage is... I always come back to this. Hockey is such a fast-moving, complicated sport that I feel like a lot of people don't ever play. So they don't have the same sort of knowledge and understanding of it as they do of like baseball and football, which are, you know, slow moving games that I think like pretty much all American kids play growing up, especially baseball. But to see that Ovechkin shot, to see where he kind of fumbles it on his blade and see that and think that he's trying to hit Ron Hainsey in the head tells me, and I hate to be the guy that's always in my mentions, but that's like something you say when you've never played the game. You know how hard it is to hit a moving target from 4 feet out while you're fumbling the puck while you're trying to one-time it. To think that's intentional is lunacy. It's insanity that you would even – and, like, I don't know how it happened in the interview process, but, like, if you're talking to somebody like, man, you know, that play at the end of the game with, you know, Hainsey, hope he's okay, and someone's like, yeah, I hope he's okay because maybe that wasn't an accident. Like, how do you not have nine more follow-up questions about the player accusing passively that Ovechkin is, like, a Russian assassin who can murder guys with pucks? Like, you need to follow up on that. Like, the whole thing makes me so goddamn angry, and it'll be forgotten by the time people listen to the podcast because Ovechkin will have scored 4 goals last night.
Well, but the beautiful thing about all that is, like, remember, Alexander Ovechkin is one of those players who magically loses all of his abilities in the playoffs. We've been told that this guy can't come through when it matters. He can score 50 goals every year, but he forgets how to shoot the puck in the playoffs. But apparently that only extends to picking corners. Apparently if you're trying to go up Ron Hainsey's left nostril, you still have pinpoint laser accuracy on the one timer. Oh, that was God. So dumb.
I can't figure out why hockey doesn't catch on in this country. I just can't figure out why we're battling with senior circuit mixed doubles tennis on MSG Plus. Man, you know what? I woke up this morning and I was pretty excited about doing this early in the week, and now you've got me all angry, and not you, but the world, I guess, has got me all pissed off.
I feel like it was the Golden Knights lottery odds that kind of turned the
it set me off a little bit.
Well, let's go to we've done Caps Penguins, we've sort of touched, I mean, anything else on Predators Blues? Like, Nashville's winning that series, right?
Yeah, I don't see St. Louis coming back on that. I think Anaheim Edmonton's still kind of up in the air. But Rangers Ottawa? Man. You know what? I said Caps in five, so obviously that's probably not going to happen at this point. I don't want to rule it out yet. The odds are low. But I had the Rangers in six. And I feel like even if the Rangers come back and win that series, I'm still way wrong about how bad Ottawa was in my mind. Like, I really thought Ottawa had no chance. And turns out I counted on Erik Karlsson. I just forgot about that J.G. Pageau was the new Gordie Howe. I missed that one.
Yeah. No, that's – you talk about, like, the mental side of the playoffs. That is a tough loss to come back from. The Saturday loss by the Rangers in game two. Up two goals late in the third period and to cough it up like that and then have an extra day to think about it because we've got this little gap in the schedule so they can make the long distance trip from Ottawa to New York and make that hour and 45 minute flight. I tell you, man, the Senators are not
pesky.
They're better than people have given them credit for. I they probably deserve to be underdogs in the series, and if they win, they'll be underdogs in the next series. But they're underdogs 60-40 You know, there's no, people just seem to want to write them off as the worst playoff team, and they've got no shot. And, you know, like, you know, good goaltending, one game changer on defense,
but the,
pretty solid attack.
But the goaltending hasn't even really been that good. Like, Craig Anderson's numbers aren't that great for the postseason. It's not like he's stealing games. Like, it's just, it seems like, right, like, you know how, like, sometimes you'll play a team and, like, that goalie will have a really bad night and your goalie will be good, you'll win 5-1. It seems like Ottawa, whenever Craig Anderson is on, he has to be on to win that game by a goal. And when he's off, it's the same thing. The goalie, the other end of the ice, is just a little bit more off. So they keep finding ways to just get that one extra goal in every
game.
Maybe
he's the modern-day Grant Fuhr. He'll gives up five, but he won't give up that sixth. No, I mean, I still feel like that series is – like the Rangers, even though they're down 2-0, they've had some good stretches, and they could have won either of those games.
Right.
And, you know, it wouldn't stun me to see this come back to Ottawa 2-2. But, yeah, I don't know. And then the other thing, I don't know if it was this – tell me if this was a story down in the States, because it was a big deal up here, but the whole attendance thing at game one – did that make its way?
Yeah, it seems weird that they couldn't.
Thousands of empty seats in Ottawa for game one.
But they packed the house for game two, though,
yeah.
Right? Like, I don't understand how that happens.
And that's
happens.
The thing. Like, everybody is, you know, like, as soon as that happened on Thursday night where they didn't, I mean, not only didn't sell out, but really didn't come close. Like, everybody's trotting out all these, wow, the arena's too far away. And, you know, the fans are tired of the ownership and this, it's like, yeah, but none of that changed since round one. They sold out all three games in round one and they sold out game two. So, you know, I'm like, everyone's getting all like putting on their analytical hat and trying to like determine what does this mean for the future of hockey in Ottawa and what does it say about the fan base? And it's kind of like if it's one game, I'm guessing that something weird just happened with the ticket sales department. Like they were trying to package game one with season's tickets or something like they got a little too cute on trying to flip this unexpected round two appearance into something bigger and maybe got burned a little bit.
Maybe.
But yeah, I don't know. The arena's too far. I'm always fascinated by people who like have never been. Like, have you been to a game in Ottawa?
Yeah, it's really far away.
You know what? It's far, but
I hate it.
It's like 20 minutes from downtown, with no traffic. The problem is the traffic, and the thing is, it's a miserable place to go when it's like February. Like, I used to work at a company that was a main sponsor of the building, and they would come around. Like, they come around at 5 o'clock and be like, "Does anyone want tickets in the suite for the Senators game tonight? You know, free tickets, free food, free parking." And I'd like look out the window and I'd be like, no, because I don't want to drive out there in February when it's snowing. But when it's April and it's nice out, like it's not that bad until you get to the parking lot. The parking lot is a disaster and has been always. But it's, yeah, like I feel like if you're going to an NFL game, you're probably not just like a 10-minute drive from your house to get to the stadium. Like I feel like that they make too big a deal out of how far away it is. It's not that far.
You know what the big deal was down here in New York was how Alain Vigneault seems to be unaware of which players on his team are good and which players aren't in terms of how he's putting them on the ice. Like for whatever reason, for the final like 8-9 minutes of the third period and the entirety of overtime, he didn't put Lindbergh, he didn't put Buchnevich, and he didn't put third forward. Who the hell was it? Some other young guy. Lindbergh wasn't VC, but like he basically played with three lines for the final overtime, the end of third period in the overtimes. And for some reason, Brady Shea, Brendan Smith were not getting ice time, while Nick Holden, who pinched for some inexplicable reason on the game-winning goal, I have no idea. Like even if you're Nick Holden, you're like, I'm going to get to this puck. What are you going to do with it? You're Nick Holden. Like you just hang back. Don't let JG Pageau get behind you. So people are really kind of upset with Alain Vigneault in terms of how he's been doing this all year too. By the way, like it's inexplicable how he deploys his defensemen when he has like Dan Girard. Like, I mean, I get it; they're all bad, so they have to be on the ice at some point, but it was just really weird how like he just basically forced his team to run out of gas. You basically could see it in the first overtime where the Rangers couldn't skate anymore. So you knew when the second overtime started that if they didn't score in the first 5 minutes, they were probably going to be screwed because they just they're playing with nine guys for 20 plus minutes, and
that's
people are mad.
That's such a coaches always get burned on that. Like if you play overtime and you shorten the bench and that overtime goes any length of time, you get killed for it. And yet, like when you're a fan, if you're watching overtime and you see that fourth line on the ice, you lose your mind. Like I remember like with the Leafs and they in the first game against Washington, they gave up the goal with their fourth line on the ice. And then in the second game, the fourth line kept going out and everybody was losing their minds over why Mike Babcock was trying to roll four lines in overtime, right up until the fourth line scored the overtime goal. And then we all immediately forgot that criticism. But I don't know, man. The Rangers are not done, but
they've been a crappy home team.
Yeah, I mean, end of the day, you're down 2-0, right? I mean, you gotta win 4 out of 5 against a pretty good team that's, you know, at the very least showing that they can hang with you. That's I don't like your odds too much.
We got anything else we want to cover before we start doing some questions? People want to yell at us about stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of skipped over Oilers Ducks.
That's going.
Did we both pick the Oilers in that series, or did you have Anaheim?
I had the Ducks in 7. Okay. I don't even know why I picked series anymore. Like I'm behind in every except Nashville. I have Nashville, I guess, but that was an easy one. Yeah, it's not.
That was a weird. Yeah, it was good. A weird game Sunday night because it was basically like the field goal battle, like 3-0 Ducks, then 3-3. Then it ends up being 6-3, partly thanks to an extended 7-minute offside review that I'm sure you just enjoyed the hell out of because you love the offside review.
I think I passed out during it. I might have actually lost consciousness during that offside review. And then like I woke back up again when they got it wrong. I was like, again, these reviews should also be done in Toronto. If you're doing it on a freaking iPad in the penalty box, it's not a good system.
Yeah, with the crowd like reacting to the replays.
Yeah,
which is great. Yeah. By the way, like I would, man, if you're a hockey fan, you gotta really sell that when you're at the arena. The Oilers fans did a great job. You gotta have the like in unison, oh, that's totally offside reaction, so that the officials down there can hear you. Speaking of the Edmonton crowd, were you touched deeply by their singing of the American national anthem?
I still don't get that. I'm still confused. I still feel like this guy did a bit, like he wanted to get some attention on himself, so like he pretended like the mic didn't work, because people explain it to me. They're like, no, the mic on the camera for the TV for the broadcast worked, but the mic in house didn't work. But he gets them all to start singing at the same time by screaming into the microphone, and then when everyone's singing, he's waving the microphone around. Like if the microphone doesn't work, why would you do that?
Which is now like
it's a conspiracy.
Every national anthem, I don't know down there, but up here in Canada, like I think it was the Canucks guy started it, and it was kind of cool. But now they do it in Toronto. Now like let's get the fans to sing part of the anthem. And but yeah, we are very proud of ourselves up here for that American national anthem thing.
We did O Canada once down here. We did O Canada, I think, in Boston. I want to say we did it in Boston because Ottawa played Boston after the shooting in Ottawa, and I'm pretty sure that there was a sing along O Canada in Boston.
It's been done. Exact same thing happened in Toronto a couple years ago where the mic went out and the Canadian fans sang, and then like I think it was against Nashville, and the next time they played Nashville, like the Predator fans sang the Canadian. Like,
oh yeah, that's why
we could not get like we can't get enough of these stories. We are so anything involving an anthem, we are just so proud. Right up unless like the Montreal fans boo the American anthem, and then we just all pretend we didn't hear that and go out like, oh, did PK Subban dance? So let's talk about that.
What do you like more, the sing along anthem or the goaltender off the street story?
Oh boy, give me the emergency backup. I love that. I'm tired of the anthem stuff. I really am. Like it's not like it when the Leafs anthem singer started doing it. I'm like, oh come on, like we've done the whole like, you know, let the crowd sing along thing. And, but yeah, no, I can't get enough of emergency backups. I want them all to get into the game. And like legitimate, like not like, was it the Hurricanes this year where they let the guy play like the last 3 seconds or something? Like I want like a good, like when that almost happened, remember the Leafs in Florida a couple years ago where Luongo got hurt.
Luongo.
And then the other Panthers goalie got hurt, and they had to, like, they were argue, like, they were dressing the equipment guy, and, like, one of the players ran back to, like, he was going to go. And then Luongo, like, stormed back from the hospital or whatever to get the, like, I was so excited. That was the highlight. I mean, I'm a Leaf fan, so saying it was the highlight of my season wasn't really saying all that much, but I was giddy watching that play out. I can't get enough of that. So how about we let, hear me out on this. Emergency backup anthem singers.
Oh, so you're saying, like,
if your mic fails, you don't get to get the crowd to do it. We just haul some, let's have it be the same guy, the backup equipment manager. We just throw him out there and he has to sing the anthem.
Like, what if Connor McDavid just grabbed the mic and just started to, like, croon, just like, oh, say, like, he just like melts the entire place.
Like, just he goes total baritone. And didn't that happen in the NBA? Didn't someone, like, some kid forgot the words and some coach went over and, you know what? This isn't even a hockey thing. I'm tired of anthem. I don't want any more heartwarming anthem stories. I want embarrassing failure or sing it fast and get out of there so the game can start in all sports. That's it.
So, like, Carl Lewis screwing up the anthem back in the 90s, or
Roseanne Barr, or the poor lady at one of the international games. So it was a Team Canada game where she went out on the ice, forgot the words, was, like, so embarrassed that she ran off the ice, got her courage up to come back, and when she stepped on the ice, she slipped and wiped out.
Oh yeah.
Which was,
God, that
the worst thing.
That's like your nightmare.
Yeah. That it totally is. And you know, there was somebody, like, after the first screw up who was like, go back out, what's the worst that could happen? And then, like, boom. Hey, you're on the highlights for the next decade.
Forever.
All right.
I love sports.
I think we have a few minutes for reader questions before some basketball or some lacrosse podcast kicks us out of the room.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to this. Adam Brandt wants to know, how much crow is Dave willing to eat over Fleury's performance so far in round one? Why the Flower hate? He's a legit number one netminder. He's not a legit number one netminder. He's actually the definition of a backup, because he's been a backup now for 2 years. And why did I think he was going to be not good in this series? I don't know, because he was a 909 goaltender in 38 games this year, and I thought maybe that's kind of what he was at this point. So, excuse me for not realizing that he was going to be, what's he at so far? 936 through six games. Yeah, I everyone should have saw that coming. That's my bad. That's on me.
So I'm going to go ahead and say zero crow that you're eating.
Yeah, I'm going to say zero. Oh, all right. I'm going to push this crow aside until the series is actually over, and then maybe he'll collapse at some point. What do you like better, Simpsons or The Family Guy? D-Tip wants to know this.
Simpsons or today? I mean, you got to go Simpsons. A Family Guy was like three generations removed ripoff of The Simpsons.
Oh, Len Duick says, does Sean get his information from the beyond, or are you just a mutant? See, I called you a mutant. I figured you were Charles Xavier, but do you speak with the dead? Is that actually the answer to your lottery predictions?
No, I'll tell you, it's a little secret. When it comes to the NHL, you just look at it and go, what's the most screwed up, ridiculous thing that could happen? And voila.
That is probably a good way to do it.
That was French.
Is there any chance that AV gets fired this offseason, or do we have to suffer through more Holden, Stahl, Girardi? I don't know. I think he just got an extension, but it does seem weird to me that, like, the GM goes out and gets, like, players for Vigneault and then he doesn't use them. Like, here's Brendan Smith, and you're like, no, we're gonna use Nick Holden for 22 minutes. But
yeah,
Holden's not back next year. Stahl and Girardi probably are.
Yeah, I don't think I think you're kind of stuck with them. I don't know. That it's sort of in that time where you've got a GM, didn't hire the coach, 2 years in. Like, this is about the time where you would play that card. But I don't know. You just had 104-point season or whatever. You won a round.
Yeah. I feel like Lundqvist makes him look like a better coach than he is.
Well, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, who are you going to bring in, too? Like, who's the available coach you're going to get to? I don't know. Austin wants to play F, Marry, Kill with Ross, Rachel, and post-marriage Monica.
That is 100% a Dave question.
I don't know why it's post-marriage Monica. Like, what's the implication there with post-marriage Monica? Whew, boy, that's tough. Because, like, I don't want to have sex with Ross. I also don't want to marry him. Wait, does post-marriage Monica mean I can't marry Monica? Is that why that contingency is in there? I'm trying to figure out the... You know what? I'm going to kill Ross and Rachel and have sex and marry Monica. How about that? That's my answer for that. Let's do one more. I feel like there's somebody lingering outside the office here. What's the last question we're going to do here? People just pepper us with questions. All right, here you go. Terry Kelly, this is an interesting thought. Shots that hit the post, lucky for goalies, or did they have it covered and it's no big deal?
See, yeah, I'm kind of with the no big deal. Like, it's a shot that missed the net. Just because it makes a noise doesn't mean that that it's some sort of fortunate... Now, you know what is lucky is 90% of the great saves that goaltenders make these days.
Oh, my God. Let's go back to that Craig Anderson save in game two before it got out of control and people were going nuts about that. Craig Anderson is completely beat. Yeah. Like, he can't move across, so he just holds his glove in a spot. That's all you do as a goalie. Right. And that's, you can't push over. You can't snap. You're just like... And then JT Miller shot it right into his glove, and it's like, what a save. Like,
yeah.
No.
I don't want to sound like cranky grandpa any more than I usually do, but like, dude, in the old days, a great save would be actually like a guy would take a shot and the goaltender would see the puck, track the puck, get his hand up in time to make the glove save. Every great save, 90% of great saves today are a goaltender who's out of position for some reason, just sticks a random limb in somewhere in the middle of that open net, and then the player just hits it with the puck. And we all lose our minds. We're like, oh my gosh, what a great glove. Well, yeah, he shot the puck directly into the gigantic glove, but oh well.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for today's Cranky Grandpa show. There's millennials standing outside the office that want to do some work, so the grandpa's got to go. Thanks for listening. We will be back at our usual time next week, unless we get canceled between now and then. Review us on iTunes. You know, pump us up, man. Like, make us look good for our bosses, because if we get more stars, I think we move up. I don't know how it works, but subscribe, download, review, do all that stuff. And thanks for reading the podcast this week. Anything from you, Sean?
I got nothing. We'll be back next week to talk about all the Capitals firings.
Yep, thanks. See you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.